How many of you are excited to be here? Yeah, on a Father's Day in the evening here, that is a good sign, amen? And that is a good sign for Father's Day. Usually people are out, and I know there's a lot of people that is out. But if you're here and you're hungry tonight, I pray that God will do something. Amen. Say with me the word. Say with me, Shazak. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. There's an anointing that I believe that God wants to do when it comes to supernatural boldness. Just drop me a little bit on the stage or my voice overall. I think it is too much. Amen. Say them again. Say boldness. Listen. This morning we were speaking about fathers and fatherhood, those of you that were here. How many of you were here? Just raise your hands. I just want to see how many were here this morning. If you don't come in the mornings, I want to encourage you to come. We teach the word and we give you the word. Without teaching, we will never be, how can I say it? We will never come to a mature level without teaching the word. Are you guys with me? It is the word that matures people. It is the word that causes our spirits to become strong. The Bible says that even if the world fades away, it's the Logos word that will never pass away. Are you guys with me? The word you hold in your hands, the Bible, even though the world will pass away, that word will stand and will never pass away. Amen? So through the word of God, it needs to be taught. It needs to be taught, meaning that it's one thing to preach in the evenings, that we minister to people, we pray for them, we lay hands. But when the word is taught, it's like I said this morning, when you have the word, you become strong in dry times. If God is not moving, meaning that God's voice, we come to a place where the season becomes dry and God willfully pulls away from us. Are you with me? God willfully pulls away from us. The Bible says he is the God who hides himself so that we may seek him. He is a God who says, listen, I'm going to hide my presence from you so that you can seek me. He pulls away. Listen, there are times, even Jesus himself, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, meaning that it was in that time, that season, where the Bible says that the enemy came to tempt him, the devil came to tempt him. And the first thing the devil said to him, all three temptations was to shortcut power to him. Are you guys with me? He said, listen, you can turn the stone into bread and you can eat it right now. Jesus' answer to the devil was the word of God. Not, listen, just before he went into the wilderness, Jesus had an encounter. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that the heavens opened and God spoke and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He did no miracle up until then. He did no power, no signs and wonders up until then. Yet the Father was pleased with him. When his identity was established, miracles begin to flow. Amen. So once the Father established his identity, said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, miracles of power began to follow. But directly after that encounter, the heavens opened. Are you guys with me? Bible says the heavens opened and it never closed from that moment. In Isaiah it says, that's a bit better. Did you do something? Okay. And the book of Isaiah says, rend the heavens, let your presence come down and shake the mountains. When the heavens are opened, mountains are shaken. When the heavens open over your life, every mountain will be shaken. It says, rent the heavens. The mountains will be shaken. The enemy will begin to flee when the heavens open. Listen, the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, before he went into the wilderness, it's a bit better, the sound. When he went into the wilderness, just before he went into the wilderness, the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus went into the wilderness, driven, say with me, driven. The Bible says that he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost. He was driven, he was forced into it. God will force true believers into a wilderness. A wilderness is not where God has forsaken you. A wilderness is there because In fact, I preached a message on it a while back, a year ago, and I said the word wilderness means the voice of God. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, it means the instrumental voice, the mouthpiece. It is in the wilderness where God speaks to you. It is in the wilderness where God meets your needs. Are you guys with me? It was in the wilderness when Jesus said, when he answered the devil with the word of God, he did not answer him and said, but listen, wait, I had this encounter just now when the heavens opened. He never referred to his encounter. He referred to the word of God. Are you guys with me? When we refer and we say, but wait, I had this encounter, the devil can still do something because it's only the word that has power. An encounter is there to convince us. The word is there to convince the devil. Listen, say with me, the word. So Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Satan tempted him with power. Said to him, listen, I can take you to the highest hill and you can throw yourself off and angels will pick you up. Are you guys with me? He said, as far as you can see, if you bow down to me, I will give these nations to you. How many of you know the nations already belong to Jesus? Satan just wanted a shortcut to power. Listen, when Jesus was walking through the earth, all his disciples thought that he was going to set up a political rule, that he's going to be king of the Jews, meaning in a physical way. They never understood it was a spiritual kingdom. So they were waiting for his rule to be established all the time. Are you guys with me? Until he died on the cross. It was on the cross that power was received and he became King of Kings. It was on the cross where Satan bowed to him. Listen, it was on the cross where nations were given to him. And Satan wanted to short circuit that thing and say, listen, if you bow to me now, I will give you these things. Say with me, a price. There's a price to pay for these things, where Satan would want you to stop paying the price. In the wilderness, when he saw that Jesus was fasting 40 days without water, without food, Satan did everything to tempt him and made him stop. To bring power to him and said, listen, just don't pay the price. Just don't go through this. Are you guys with me? He came out of the wilderness. The first thing he did is he went to a wedding and he turned water into wine. Then he went and he cast out devils. Why? Because his identity was established. When you have an encounter with the Father, with your Father in heaven, your identity will be established. That is when the devil begins to get mad. Because you know that you know, but wait, I am a son of God. I am an heir of Christ. The Bible says that he was the firstborn of many, meaning he was your brother, as in like our Heavenly Father being a father. Are you guys with me? The firstborn of many, which means that as he went to the cross and was crucified, his spirit came upon us, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, and we became an offspring of him. Are you with me? Listen. So that was, I'm preaching all of that to say, to get you to the morning services. Amen. The word of God. Say with me, the word. Teaching, never, never underestimate teaching. It is teaching that makes us mature. When you're in the wilderness, like I was just saying, when dry times are dry, when Satan comes and tempts, the only weapon is the word of God, the Logos word of God. In the evening, we preach and we throw maybe two or three scriptures out, that is. But in the morning, we get into the word. That is what brings. Listen, it's the word that changed. It might not feel like power when we are teaching, but your spirit knows it's the word. Are you guys with me? Listen, say with me, boldness. I want to get to tonight. I shared, I think it was last week, I can't remember if it was the evening, I think it was the morning, we spoke on the seven spirits of God, for those of you that were here, and we spoke on the spirit of knowledge. There are three realms to knowledge. If we look at the New Testament, there are three realms that the Bible speaks, three Greek words of knowledge. The first one is eido. Say with me, eido. Eido means simply an awareness. That is for Christians that are simply just aware. They just, Jesus died for me on the cross and that's about it. I'm going to be coming to church, raise my hands and that's about it. But they've not gone into the other dimensions. Eido is a realm of awareness. It is the place of intellect which we can still study and know. But the second dimension, say with me, gnosko. That is when we have begin to have an intimate knowledge of God. Are you guys with me? The Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him in Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection. Intimacy with God will bring power and suffering. It will cause people to attack you, but you'll carry power of resurrection. The Apostle Paul said that I may do away, and he speaks that whole chapter, counting this as rubbish, counting that as everything, I count it as nothing, but I strive forward for the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. And I do all these things that I may do one thing, that I may know Him. That word know is gnosko. It means to intimately know Him. When you get to that place, you begin to know and understand the things of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? And I explained last week, I said how the first word eido is like you're standing in a dark room and the lights are off and somebody switches on the lights and you can see in the room there's a fridge, there's a TV, there's maybe a car, whatever it might be. And you see all these things in the room. That's eido. You are now aware that there's something there. But now the lights are on. Now we get into the second level, seuthi gnosko. And why I'm saying these things is so that you can get a spiritual vocabulary. Are you guys with me? Those are words, like I said this morning, that we use. It's the words such as, if people are not a Christian, they wouldn't understand these words. Words such as honor. Words such as impartation. Revelation. Demonstration. Manifestation. Eido. Are you guys with me? Gnosko. And we're going to get to the third one. When you know these words, you begin to understand, but wait, I'm only operating at this level as a Christian. I'm only aware. God wants to take you into an intimate place with Him. So the intimacy. The word gnosko actually means the same as the sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife. It means that you get to know God beyond just a normal communicative way. Normal just beyond your just your prayer list. Are you guys with me? Beyond just the Our Father prayer, but we get to know Him. We can get into our rooms and switch off our lights, lift up our hands and begin to worship Him. And there's a place that you can get to. It's called surrender. Listen. I was praying this week and I was trying, we had a busy week and we're busy with stuff for the church and legal stuff to get it right. And I was at a place I wanted to pray and I thought, but wait, I was praying Friday and Saturday, but I didn't have as much time as usual. And I was trying in my flesh to do it and nothing happened until there was a moment, I don't know, it was maybe an hour in or so. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, just surrender. And I was, and every time it happens to me, it's like it happens for the first time, yet I've been doing it for years. And it's a switch in you here. You just switch, it's like, you just surrender. I don't know how to explain it to somebody. It's a spiritual thing. It's a switch you turn on and things in you surrender to Him. You healed. You don't try to pray and try to worship. You healed, and in that moment, the atmosphere changes. The reason why people cannot receive when we lay hands on them, because they cannot surrender. I've laid hands on people and I thank God here you guys receive, but I've laid hands on people and they actually resist. They go like this and they refuse to surrender. I'm not saying you have to fall over, but there's a place where you can feel the anointing is going into someone or not. God is looking for us to come to a place of surrender. You can only surrender if you have the Holy Spirit, and your spirit begins to be strong and you can change things in the spirit. Now you don't pray and beg God's presence to come and know. Now you sit and you change that switch and it surrenders and your spirit surrenders. And it's then when the Holy Ghost can come in. You don't think a thought to something else. You don't think anxiety. The Bible says, listen, I've been preaching this for the last few weeks saying, last 2 weeks saying about the Word of God being sown as a seed and the seed falling on certain soils. The one soil, the Bible says, was a hard soil. The seed could not take root. The others, and that says there the birds would even sometimes catch the seed before it falls. Then the other soil was a rocky soil. Are you guys with me? The other soil was a soil, the third soil was a soil that was infected with weeds, meaning that, and when the parable is explained, when the Bible explains the parable, it says that these are cares and anxieties of the world, choking out the voice of God in your life. Go read it. It says the word comes and you're actually enjoying it. You receive it with joy. But the cares and anxieties of the world begins to choke the word, which is the voice of God. When somebody has anxieties, they cannot hear the voice of God. You can sit in your room, you cannot hear the Holy Spirit. He backs off. Are you guys with me? When we learn and we decide, but wait, I want to put this anxieties down and I'm going to put my cares upon the Lord. I'm going to surrender to Him. For the next hour, I'm not going to think upon my financial situation, think upon health, think about things that can go wrong, my work. I'm going to surrender to Him. It is there where you get touched. It is there where God feels welcome to come in. Are you guys with me? So Ado, so Gnosko, that is the realm of Gnosko, where we have intimacy with Him, where you can feel and hear Him talk back to you. Are you with me? But say with me, third dimension. And this is not what I'm preaching. I'm going to get into something else, but I'm just using this as a foundation. The third word of knowledge is what we call epigonosko. Say with me, epigonosko. So the first one was Ado. The second one was gnosko. And the third one was epigonosko. The word epigonosko is connected to a word in the Old Testament called yada. Say with me, yada. The word epigonosko in the New Testament, is in the Greek, it's epigonosko. In the Old Testament, it's yada. Epigonosko in the New Testament is a third dimension. That's when you stand in the room now. You have the light switched on and you can see the items. You can see what is in the room. Are you guys with me? But with epigonosko, you go one dimension higher. This is now where you begin to understand and you have the foreknowledge. But wait, this stuff belongs to me. I own the car. I own this. I know how it works and how it benefits me. Epigonosko is what we call esoterical knowledge. Are you guys with me? Don't be like the soil where the word comes and before it even lands, the devil takes it away. Oh, many Christians are like that. I can preach and I can see they're just like, I don't even know why they are here. You might as well watch a Sunday movie. Listen, say with me, esoterical. Esoterical means that it's only for a select few, not whom God has chosen, but those people who choose to go into that realm of knowledge with God. It's an esoterical realm. It's a knowledge of a foreordained knowledge, meaning epigonosko and yada is where we have such intimacy with God and you see every plan and future that He has prepared for you. That even before you were born, God, the Bible says, even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I have ordained you a prophet to the nations. I knew you. That word knew means yada, which means that even before you were born, I had intimacy with you and I've laid out your whole life step by step, knowing what house you will go in, knowing what car you'll go in, knowing what business you will run, knowing what ministry you will do. But we have to get to that realm of intimacy to see the blueprint. Are you guys with me? This is where you don't even try to think, but must I now take this job? Must I do this? No. This is where you're automatically just driven into the plan of God for your life. This is where you can walk and you have deja vu. Deja vu is simply your spirit remembering the memories of the future. You're getting into a place and you feel, but wait, I've been here before. That's yada. Say with me, yada, which is epigonosko. Deja vu is not, listen, when you come into a place, a house or something, and you just feel, but this is because your spirit has been there and you're just in step with the plan of God for your life. You'll see, go do a history on people that have, on everybody that has deja vu. It's never regarding something negative. Are you guys with me? Say with me, boldness. Listen, I want to get to I want to just kind of like flow tonight to get to a place to show you how we can have boldness coming on us. When you have yada, when you know that you know, every step, every footstep is ordained of God. Yada, I don't know how to explain it. Listen, It's where you are so connected with God that everything, even if it feels like the enemy is throwing you off or throwing attacks, everything is the will of God. We say that Rayon is where you close your eyes and you pray and you begin to see the future. Are you guys with me? That's Rayon, your thoughts of the future. But Yada is your actual future being planned out already. That's the difference. Rayon, we see it. And as the Yada, is it has been planned, ordained, and purposed long before you were even born, set into place. Who will change God's mind? Are you guys with me? The devil won't be able to change God's mind. This is, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, my thoughts towards you are good. My plans towards you are good. Listen. Say with your boldness, I want to get to this thing somehow. Go put me on the screen. Put me on the screen, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Or go, wait. Before we get to that one, put for me Luke 7, verse 28. Luke 7, verse 28. I want you guys to look here. Listen, when I was praying, I was just thinking of this. What gives David the boldness that he could come to Goliath and say, to Saul and his armies that were sitting on the side having meetings, meeting upon meeting, but nobody stepping in to take out Goliath. And David says these words, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that shall curse the armies of God? Knowing that nobody could stand up Goliath, but what is this boldness that is upon David's life? That he could utter these words and say, I will take, what shall be given to the man that shall take down Goliath? Are you guys with me? What is the boldness that David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's three friends, what is the boldness that they could have to say the words, even if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow our knees to Baal? That they had such boldness that they could go into a fiery furnace. That the Bible says that even those who threw him into the fire were burned to death. And Nebuchadnezzar would look at them and say, but wait, I see the fourth man, the form of the Son of God walking amongst them. What is this boldness? Listen, when you carry the unction of boldness, you will make the world see Christ manifested in your life. Nebuchadnezzar was the first person in the Old Testament, unbeliever in the Old Testament, to see the form of the Son of God. Because somebody had boldness. Are you guys with me? Boldness is an unction. It comes on you. When you run an e-group and you think, but wait, how am I going to do this before I do this? You know, there's 10 people coming. How am I going to lay hands? What am I going to say? You might not know the words that you're going to say. But when that worship music goes on and the e-group leader begins to minister, you feel an unction coming on you. An unction is a supernatural endowment coming upon you. It's like clothing wrapping around you. Are you guys with me? Many times when I preach, I don't know what I'm going to say. I remember I was preaching in this huge church. I'm not going to mention the name but I was preaching in this huge church, about a few thousand people. And we were doing a youth conference. And I remember some speakers before me preached, and it was bad. I mean, there was nothing. The preacher came after the service sweating, couldn't do anything, said, but you know, I don't know what happened, and Leon, you have to take the next session and what is going to happen. And I'm stressing because I'm thinking there's like 2,000 people here, young people, and they're just sitting. I mean, there's not a noise. The preacher's preaching his guts out, and they're just sitting. And he says, give Jesus a praise offering, and they're just sitting. They're just looking at him. Some of them are just looking away. Most of them don't even listen. If you've ever been a preacher, you will feel naked up there, okay? And I'm stressing, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this thing anyway? I take the mic, I have to go up, and I have to do the next 4 meetings or so. And I remember getting, you know, stepping onto the stage. It was like, and this was one of many times, it was like a supernatural clothing covered me. And I was suddenly a different person. When you operate under an unction of boldness, You move under a yada that God has ordained for you before the foundations of this world. There's another person, another man, another woman on the inside of you, that when an unction comes on you, you are shifted and changed into that person. That is the person that God has ordained for you to be. Are you guys with me? And if we can know, but wait, how to get this unction of boldness on us. If that is how we move within power. Say with me, yada. So it is an unction. So I was thinking, but wait, how, you know, how do these guys, like David did it, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How does Moses go up a mountain, have so much glory on him? Go there to Luke 7 verse 20. Let me just read here. For I say to you, among those born of a woman, there is not a greater, say with me, not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least, say with me, least, in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Let me explain this. Listen, he's saying, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Are you guys with me? He says, there's nobody greater that's born of a woman than John the Baptist. Which means that up until that time, Moses was not greater than John the Baptist. Are you guys with me? Elijah, the Bible is saying, listen, no one up until that time was greater than John the Baptist. Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, destroyed hundreds of prophets, or killed hundreds of prophets of Baal, were not greater than John the Baptist. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not greater than John the Baptist. But he says, listen, from this moment on, even the one that is the least, that is the weakest, the one that is the smallest in the kingdom. How many of you sitting here saying, the kingdom of God is in me? That's some. Okay. How many of you say that I am in the kingdom of God? Listen here, when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God comes upon you. He's saying the one that is the weakest, the smallest, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Meaning the one in the kingdom of God that is moving in a kingdom of power, in this kingdom that we are at. It's called the Basilia of God. Are you guys with me? A kingdom to rule and to reign. He says, listen, the smallest one, the least, is greater than John the Baptist, which means the one that is in the kingdom that is the least is greater than Elijah. Listen, I don't know if it is getting through. I see two or three people sleeping. Amen. Go home and go sleep there. Don't sleep here. Say with me, the least. The one that is the least, even if you feel, I am not worth it even to go to church. I don't feel worthy to go to church. I feel I'm rejected by people. I feel like like God doesn't want to use me. Hey, John the Baptist said, the one that is the least is greater than any person that came up to John the Baptist. Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel's friends. Are you guys with me? That means, as we preached, I think it was last week, Sunday night, about the mighty men, that Elijah, the son of Dodo, who killed over 1,000 people, standing in one place, another man, who stood and fought until his sword was stuck to his hand. That these who had these great and mighty feasts, that we are the least, the one that's the least in the kingdom is greater than him. Are you guys with me? Say with me, an unction of boldness. How does this boldness come upon us? That we can say, but wait, I want to go and plant an e-group in that area and take my region or my neighborhood for the kingdom of God. I want to go into my business there and establish a business. I want to start a prayer group in my business or in my school. How do I have that might and boldness that comes on me to take for the kingdom of God? It's an unction. Are you guys with me? It doesn't just come on everyone. Listen, go with me to 2 Chronicles 16, the one that I just said now. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. Let me read this. Let me go and check. Look here. Say with me, boldness. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Meaning that word run to and fro means, in the Hebrew, it means a scanning, like something, someone scanning and searching and going back and front, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, running until someone is found. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself. So if he's strong, the word strong yet is what we call Shazak. Are you guys with me? It's an anointing that is shazak. The word strong here, or let me say that word, Hebrew word shazak, it means, let me read it to you. It means this. Say with me, shazak. It means courage. Which God, the Bible says that the Lord will show himself strong to somebody. It means courage, boldness, to lay a hold. It means a high degree of intensity. Are you guys with me? That means when you preach, whether it's in an e-group, at your business, you're starting a prayer group, wherever it might be, there's an anointing coming on you that makes you go into a place, a high degree of intensity. Listen. We've had meetings where it would be so intense, you feel like you cannot go on. May the heavens open like that again. A high degree. That even if you cast out devils, you move in an intense level. That the devil cannot overpower you. Are you guys with me? High degree of intensity. It goes on, it says, it means, the word shazak. It means having an ability to accomplish the impossible. It means to become powerful. Say with me, powerful. It means to conquer. To conquer nations, to conquer cities, to conquer neighborhoods. It means to triumph. Are you guys with me? The word triumph comes from the root word to trump, to trample upon. Which means that when you begin to triumph, you're placing things under your feet. It means to triumph. It means, it goes on. It says, it means to defeat an enemy and have authority over him. And it means to overpower suddenly. Say with me, shazak. Listen, the scripture says, for the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro to show, looking for somebody to show himself shazak, strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So they're loyal. Now he says, but wait, there's a condition. I will place a shazak anointing upon you, an anointing that'll make you strong and bold, that in the face of the enemy, it doesn't matter what threat comes to you. It doesn't matter what attack comes against you. That in the face of adversity, you can have an unction of boldness coming upon you. Listen, Acts chapter number 4 verse 13 says these words. It says, for when they saw the boldness of Peter, James, and John, when they saw the boldness upon them and knew that they were uneducated and untrained men, the Pharisees now knew, it goes on, it says, they knew that they had to be spending time with Jesus. That they had to be with Jesus. The only way that an unction of boldness could come upon them, because these guys were uneducated and untrained. Come on, are you guys with me? They didn't have any qualification or any pastor preaching type certificate that would say to them, they're in the ministry now. They were uneducated, untrained. But when the unction of boldness, listen, the Holy Spirit does not move without boldness. When there's boldness, boldness will make the Holy Ghost overlook sin, overlook areas of weakness, and move on your behalf. It'll make the Holy Ghost overlook training and education and qualification. I am not saying we can allow sin, but I'm saying there's a key of boldness where you can take your enemy out. Are you guys with me? Where you can establish the kingdom in your neighborhood, in your business. And he says, listen, he says, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are scanning, going up and down, running up and down, looking for somebody who he can put a shazak anointing upon. But the one that is going to qualify for that shazak anointing is the one whose heart is loyal. Say with you, loyal. The word loyal is actually the English word perfect. If you look at the King James Version, he says whose hearts are perfect towards him. The word perfect in Hebrew is what we call shalom. It means to unreservedly given yourself to God. That your heart is perfect towards Him. We said this morning in the New Testament, it means to be mature, to be an upright standing. In this context, it means those who have given themselves unreservedly to Him. Are you guys with me? I think it was the leader of Salvation Army, I think so. The man who started Salvation, was it William Booth or someone like that? I think so. Who started Salvation Army. He said these words. And he was fighting in a war. I might have the person wrong now, but I think it is. And he was saying these words when he was going out. He was preaching, he was getting people saved, but he was in a war. And he wrote the words, he says, and throughout his whole life, the first words he wrote in his journal, and then he said, no reserves. He wrote two words, no reserves, at like a few years into his life, meaning that he said he's going to go in and not have any backup. And William Booth, I think it was William Booth, he spoke a few years into his life, and he wrote no reserves, meaning he's going to run this race and this call of God upon his life, not having a plan B, plan C, in case God fails. Let me have, in case this thing doesn't work, I can at least do this or do this. No, say with him, no reserves. Then he goes on and he says, and he wrote again and he said, no retreats a few years later. And this man started a massive move of God. And he wrote no retreats, which means that no reserves, no plan B or plan C. No retreats, meaning I have no option to go back. There's no option of retreating. Are you guys with me? Say with him, no retreats. And then the last thing at the end of his life, in the journal they found, no regrets. Say with him, no regrets. And he says, at the end of his life, when he did no reserves, no retreats, following the call of God, there was come a place where you have no regrets. But people don't go into the call, and God is not serious upon them because they're not serious with God. When they have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, God is not serious with them. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Whose hearts, in fact, like I said, it says perfect in the King James. The word perfect, shalom. Those who have unreservedly given themselves to Him. Not holding anything back. Committed completely and fully to Him. They have come, listen, the word shalom, let me read it to you. Shalom, it means, it speaks of a completeness where one has now unreservedly given himself into the Lord. This can only come from a certain level of intimacy with God. Say with me, yada. Now for us to go, listen, he's saying, listen, there's a condition. The eyes of the Lord is looking, and he's going to place an anointing of shazak upon people to be bold. Are you guys with me? For us to go to the next phase of the church, with church growth, we need people that are saying, I'm bold. We need people that are saying, I'm going to be a mighty man or a woman. I don't care. I'm going to pray for my neighborhood and I'm going to take it. I'm going to pray for my school or start an e-group, become a leader, serve there, or I'm going to take that as I advance the kingdom. Listen, church is an army. Are you guys with me? When the Bible says in Ephesians that Satan's rank and order, it says that principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It speaks of rank and order that the enemy has. The only way the church will overcome it is by having rank and order, raising up a people that can be an army. That's why David's kingdom was called the kingdom of might, the kingdom of Gabora. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that God manifested himself and made himself known to David as the mighty God, the El Gabor. Are you guys with me? The God of might. David had a kingdom of might that never ended. The only way we're going to go further is by saying, listen here, we receive the spirit of boldness, a spiritual boldness upon our lives to take every area, every region with a spirit of might. Say with me, boldness. Listen, now still, have a seat. How do we get... God is saying, I'm looking for people that I will place the shazak anointing to make them strong and bold, to make them have exploits like David in the Bible and Elijah and Moses. And he says he will put this anointing on those whose heart is perfect. This is the condition. Are you guys with me? Whose hearts are perfect. It means those who have such an intimate communication with Him, a type of a koinona with the Holy Spirit. When the Bible says that we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when Paul says we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it means koinona. It means an intimate communication with the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? I read a scripture, I was reminded again. In Isaiah, I think it is 61 verse 7, around there, you don't have to turn there. But it says this, those who have grieved His Holy Spirit, He shall turn on them and become their enemy. Those who have grieved, not saying that Christians, we grieve, obviously we grieve Him by making mistakes. But this scripture is speaking about those who come against the Holy Ghost. We have those who come into our church or see us from afar and they would attack the Holy Spirit. Believers. Are you guys with me? The Bible says God will turn Himself against them and become the enemy. Go with me. Say with me, Shazak. Boldness. Are you guys understanding? Shazak is means to be strong. An anointing of boldness. Go with me to Daniel 11 verse 32. How do we get to that place of having the Shazak anointing? It's people that has a perfect relationship with God. Doesn't matter who anybody else is. When you spend time with Him, you have given yourself unreservedly to Him. Are you with me? Listen, Daniel 11 verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery. Say with Him, but the people who know, the people who yada, who have an intimate communication with God, to see their future, where they come into a place and understand, but wait, God yada with me even before I was born, and He ordained me to be a businessman. He ordained me to be in the ministry. He ordained me to be a millionaire. It's yada. The people who yada their God shall be strong. Say with me, strong. Shall be Shazak. The people who know their God, who has a yada relationship with Him. God is saying, I will take those people and I'll place a Shazak anointing, a supernatural boldness upon their lives. That in the face of the enemy, you will have a boldness like David when he looked at Goliath and he said, who shall curse? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who shall curse the armies of God? Are you with me? Who is this sickness that shall come against my family? Who is this poverty that shall attack my family, attack my life? What is this curse? This cancer, the spirit of death? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this evil spirit that shall curse and come against me? Say with me, boldness. It is boldness that will cause the Holy Ghost to come on you. It doesn't matter what you've prayed. I understand with yada, I have a relationship. But some people can pray and think that is now going to let the Holy Ghost come on. No, no, no. God is looking for a yada, intimate relationship. And it says the people who yada their God. The people who yada and lives a shalom, a perfect life towards Him, shall be strong. And then it goes on, it says, carry out great exploits, mighty exploits. Are you guys with me? But in the Hebrew, you will not find that sentence. I was reading again through it today, again in the Hebrew Bible. It's gone. You don't find it there. The sentence stopped by, but it says, but the people who know their God shall be strong, comma, and it stops there. And the sentence is an unfinished sentence. It doesn't have an ending in the Hebrew, meaning the people who yada their God, they shall be strong. Are you guys with me? And do, comma, meaning it's like a blank check given to a person that you can fill in whatever you want on that thing. That you can decide, but I have the Shazak anointing upon my life. I will do, I can take businesses, I can plant churches, plant ministries. I can get people saved. There's no extent to your exploits. Say with me, a blank check. Say it with me. Say the people who yada their God shall have Shazak. Say, I receive the Shazak anointing, supernatural boldness upon my life. Tonight, I give myself holy, perfectly, shalom to our God to place Shazak upon me. Raise your hands, keep your hands raised, keep your hands raised, keep your hands raised. La ruska de levendiana ma. Raskota andele de asede. Listen, the devil is afraid of someone that has supernatural boldness. Somebody that is saying, I don't care what the enemy is throwing against me. I will not be intimidated. I will be strong. The eyes of the Lord is looking, bowing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, looking for people to place this Shazak upon. Can he find people here who he can place his Shazak upon? Say with me, Shazak. Raise your hands high. Raise your hands high. Raise your hands high. Father, may this night, may the anointing of boldness come upon them. May every spirit that is hindered, that is limited, and that has lied to us in our heads and our thoughts, right now in this moment, be taken captive. May your anointing of boldness come upon your people. May even those that are saying, I have a desire to begin to lead, to go into leadership, to advance the kingdom of heaven. May even those who have a desire tonight, may that call be answered right now. May the oil of boldness come upon them. May every adversity and every enemy that they face, every person under the sound of my voice, I pray, Father, that from this night, a higher level of success will come, a higher level of victory, a higher level of supernatural boldness, a higher level of courage, of a Shazak anointing upon their lives. May that unction come upon their lives this night. May the anointing clothe, that unction come upon them like clothing, like a second skin, like a mantle enveloping them tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Give him a praise offering, church.